Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Today on The Brian Lehrer Show, is a journalist a criminal just for receiving a classified information leak? The FBI may think so. We will look at new revelations about a leaked story and a Fox News reporter. Also, you know the controversial Sheryl Sandberg book, Lean In, about professional women in the workplace. We will hear from three women giving it a try if leaning in is working for them. Plus, is the IRS story really a scandal? Did they even target only conservative groups? We will look for some truth and clarity amid the media hyperbole and haze today. Khaled Hosseini, best known for The Kite Runner, that great novel. We'll talk about his new book. And we'll continue our series with Bill McDonald, Obits editor for The New York Times, on the significant lives they're writing about today, including Ray Manzarek, keyboardist for The Doors, who just passed away. All that coming up in 1 minute after a brief reminder that this is the second to last day of the spring membership drive. Folks, if you haven't made your contribution yet for 2013, we hope you'll do it right now at 1-888-376-WNYC. Or online at WNYC.org. Also, the last contest of the drive is closing at noon. It's our WNYC Superfan giveaway. It's a station tour, lunch with a WNYC host of your choice, and an iPad mini. So that closes at noon, 1-888-376-9692, or pledge online at WNYC.org. Please help us pay the bills before time runs out on the contest in a couple of hours and on the drive tomorrow. Thank you, thank you, thank you. 1-888-376-WNYC or pledge online at WNYC.org. Now, at a time when Washington is being distracted from its work by exaggeration and hyperbole about scandals that aren't really scandals, here is something that may be very troubling to the foundation of a free press and its ability to hold government accountable, as reported yesterday by the Washington Post. The Obama Justice Department has reportedly described a reporter, or I should say the FBI, has reportedly described a reporter as a co-conspirator in a classified information leak, not for leaking, but merely for being the recipient of a leak and reporting the story. Never mind that the reporter is from Fox News. Leave any opinions you have about Fox News out of this for now. Let's talk to the New Yorker magazine's Washington correspondent, Ryan Lizza, who wrote about this and is pretty outraged. Hi, Ryan. Welcome back to WNYC.
Hey, how are you? It's good to be back.
Good, thanks. Walk us through this. What was the story that Fox News Washington correspondent James Rosen reported, and what kind of leak did it come from?
Well, here's the story. I mean, the story itself is not exactly, as far as I can tell,
earth-shattering.
Earth-shattering. He had a source allegedly who was a contractor at the State Department who was working on issues related to the Korean Peninsula, and he learned from apparently from this source, but that's not even clear. It seems that if you read the court documents closely, it looks like he may have had other sources where he was confirming and getting other streams of information. But he reported on the Fox News website that the reaction from North Korea to additional sanctions would be that North Korea would launch some more missiles. That was the essence of the report, that U.S. intelligence officials were predicting certain behavior of North Korea if the world community did X, Y, and Z.
And that,
that's something you could have picked up from any think tank person on expert on North Korea, by the way.
You almost could have assumed it, but there is
an official report that was circulating in the state in the intelligence community that laid this out.
And somebody leaked it to James Rosen, and that person has been arrested and charged, right?
Yeah. His name is Stephen Kim, Stephen Jinwoo Kim. He was actually born in South Korea. And he was arrested and charged both with under the Espionage Act with passing on classified information, and also with perjuring himself when he was interviewed about the subject a few times with FBI agents.
Okay, so that's the background. Now, the language that has you and other journalists so upset today is in an FBI court document in which a journalist, presumed to be James Rosen, is described as, quote, at the very least, either as an aider, abettor, and or co-conspirator, unquote, in the leak. Why is that so alarming?
Well, they're arguing that in the course of normal reporting. So let me do a little bit of backstory on this. This is a search warrant. So this language comes from an FBI search warrant that was served on Google because they wanted James Rosen's access to James Rosen's email account because they already had access to the Kim's account, and they wanted to see what James Rosen was going back and forth on. What they did in getting this search warrant was rather than just argue that they needed this because they were prosecuting Kim, they argued that Rosen himself was a co-conspirator with Kim. And if you read the search warrant carefully, it seems like they were setting themselves up for potentially indicting Rosen if they wanted. They were basically saying that Rosen was running an intelligence operation, sending Kim into the State Department to get him secrets, bringing them out, and then illegally disclosing information.
Of course, now, as the Washington Post story makes clear, this wasn't a simple case of Kim, you know, walking by James Rosen's office one day and quietly dropping an envelope on his desk. They made clandestine arrangements together using fake names for both of them to arrange some kind of drop of classified information in and out of the State Department. If it's is it in some way not aiding and abetting an illegal leak, even if we think that's a good thing?
Well, that's what journalists do. We aid and abet government officials to give us information, and to criminalize that sort of routine conduct, even if Rosen and Kim decided that they would, use a little bit of security, is what you're describing, and meeting in locations and being careful about what they emailed each other. That's never before, unless you want to go back to the Alien and Sedition Acts, been described as illegal by the government, and that's what's so alarming about this search warrant and the language that the FBI uses in the search warrant. It's criminalizing routine journalistic activity. And frankly, half of the reporters in Washington would be locked up if aiding and abetting the disclosure of classified information was illegal the way that this search warrant describes it. If I call up someone at the National Security Council and ask them to provide me for information, first of all, I rarely know what information in the government is classified, what is and isn't classified, right?
Yeah.
If I secure some information, however I've secured it, and I publish it, I'm now aiding and abetting a conspiracy to violate the Espionage Act. That's alarming and unprecedented.
Ryan Lizza, New Yorker, Washington correspondent. Last week we were all talking about the Justice Department looking in on AP phone lines, looking for who leaked details of a foiled al-Qaeda plot from Yemen, but they never described any AP reporters as co-conspirators.
Absolutely.
And many news organizations were already upset about that. So this new case crosses even a different kind of line from what we were already upset about.
Oh, it does. I mean, not to get into the other scandals, but from my point of view, this makes all the other so-called scandals just look like, giant nothing burgers. That's right. The AP case was a matter, and, as bad as that is, that's been more routine in recent years, the government subpoenaing journalist records to find out who they called. Now, usually what happens in those cases, they have a target, they have a leaker in mind, and then they want to go to the journalist records and see if that leaker was communicating with the journalist. This is different. This is targeting the journalist as a criminal himself. There's no suggestion in the AP case that they're going to charge the journalists with as co-conspirators or abettors.
But we should also say that all that happened here is that an FBI agent called a journalist a criminal in a search warrant document without even using his name, and then they never charged him. So
that's right.
Does that
in
make
fact,
it much less?
He didn't know about it until yesterday.
When the Washington Post disclosed what a Fox News reporter had happening to him.
Well, this also shows you how you know, this gets into another conversation about the Washington Press Corps, but this search warrant sat around in a courthouse publicly available for 2 years before a Washington Post reporter dug it up yesterday. That's right. James Rosen, the guy behind this, was never notified by the FBI and was never even when they – we don't know 100%, but presumably they got what they wanted from Google.
Because they found, the guy, and they've arrested the guy, this consultant to the government who allegedly leaked the information, and he's under...
And his case is ongoing.
Right, and he's, according to the Washington Post, going to be tried next year. But my question is this really a big deal if all it was one phrase that some FBI person inserted into the search warrant document? They never even used Rosen's name, and certainly they have not charged him with a crime and, as you say, never even notified him. So it wasn't like they were really considering in a serious way criminalizing reporting. Fair?
Well, I would say it's more than a phrase. The document is 36 pages, and it repeatedly accuses Rosen of engaging in criminal activity.
Uh-huh.
And we don't know what the intention was. Maybe this was just a clever FBI agent using this argument to get the judge to sign off on the search warrant, and the Justice Department said, was never intending.
And maybe they're establishing a precedent, and next time they actually do indict the journalist.
Exactly. I'm not willing to say, this is no big deal. They didn't actually indict him. I mean, if you were James Rosen and you read this thing yesterday, I mean, you read it and it seems like the government is coming after him. The whole argument in the search warrant is that they need this information because James Rosen is potentially a criminal in this case.
Now, in the New York Times today, there's an op-ed by one of President Clinton's former attorney generals and others that defends the snooping on the AP records. And it says the AP story about one foiled terrorist plot in Yemen significantly damaged our national security by revealing the existence of an undercover agent who had infiltrated the al-Qaeda group in Yemen, rendering this agent ineffective in trying to stop future attacks because his existence was revealed. Therefore, they had to investigate the leak. This argument goes, the government had to investigate this leak, and only after using 500 other sources to find the leaker and couldn't, did they resort to looking at AP phone records because they were very reluctant to start snooping around in journalist records. How much do you question that argument?
Well, I think from the government's point of view, it's a good argument, right? The source was blown. So whoever told the AP this information, the government shouldn't be too happy about that. What my concern in the AP case is that the Justice Department has very strict guidelines about how and when they can go after journalists' toll records, phone records. And in this case, there are a lot of escape clauses in those guidelines, and they used all the escape hatches. For instance, they did not go to the AP initially and just say, "Can you give us these records?" Right? That would be the first thing you would do. Now, what would happen if they had done that?
They
would have said no, but then they would have gone to court because they would have known about it, and they could have gotten a judge to quash the subpoena altogether. And the Justice Department did not give the AP the ability to do that, and the process that they used circumvented that. So that would be the one major problem I'd have with it. Now, look, I take your point that this important covert operation was blown because it was disclosed. That's not really the AP's fault. The AP didn't publish the information. The AP waited to publish the information for exactly until the government sort of was about to announce this thing anyway.
Hmm.
So the Associated Press actually went above and beyond the call of duty and listened to the government's arguments and refused to publish the information. They waited several days, and then apparently this source was out of Yemen and was safe. Mm-hmm. And then the government itself was going to go out and trumpet the success of thwarting this terrorist operation. And that's when the AP published their report.
So the underlying issue for general public that's skeptical of government but also skeptical of journalism is it's so easy to conclude that the public interest is better served by journalists being able to protect their sources in a national security leak than by protecting undercover infiltration of a group like al-Qaeda in Yemen?
Look, there's no – the journalists, the mainstream journalistic institutions are well aware of that balance, and that's why many times the New York Times or the AP doesn't report on things it knows about. Now, there are critics, civil libertarians, who criticize that they're keeping secrets from the American people, and so that the government is constantly talking about that balance. That's a balance that the journalists respect quite routinely. What we've seen in the last few years, though, is the Obama Justice Department has been far more aggressive in using the Espionage Act, which deserves its a whole other program because of its history and the way it's been used. And little by little, going into a realm that was previously off limits, and that is using the incredible subpoena power of the Justice Department to rifle through journalists' records and work product, and in the most recent and sort of startling case, accusing in a government filing a journalist of being a criminal for doing routine reporting that, you know, national security reporters do every day in Washington, and that is probably the most important method for getting reliable information about what the government is doing to the American people. I mean, the alternative is just to rely on what the government is authorized to give to reporters, right? That's the alternative to reporters, quote unquote, aiding and abetting officials who aren't supposed to give us information into giving it to us.
Journalism by press release as the alternative. Ryan Lizza, Washington correspondent for The New Yorker, also a CNN contributor. Thank you very much for continuing to talk about the evolving relationship, let's say, between the Obama administration and the press. Thanks.
Hey, thank you.
Ryan Lizza on WNYC. Coming up next, you know the controversial Sheryl Sandberg book, Lean In, about professional women in the workplace. We will hear from three women giving it a try if leaning in is working for them. Stay with us.